Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hillman, and I thank you very much for tuning in tonight to air. Tonight we have a very special show. I had the pleasure and the honor and really a wonderful experience by going to, it was a moon healing, and the wonderful people on this show, Richard and Monica Chapin, are the ones that developed this, and they developed it after hearing about a friend having terminal cancer, and they wanted to do something to help her, so they did some intense exploration into light therapies and discovered this wonderful, wonderful process that has some many different wonderful things, healing for medical, agriculture, biology. There is just so many uses for the moon, and I just want to thank both Richard and Monica for being on the show and taking on really kind of a challenging endeavor to figure out how to use the moon and actually celestial bodies to help us on Earth.
Well, thank you for having us, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. It really is. It's been kind of a hidden treasure, in a way. Even though it's been nationally reported on, it's still kind of a quiet phenomenon in Tucson, in many ways.
Yeah, that's true. It's something we'd like to change, because I think that we built this to help change the world and the way that the world sees healing in particular. But yes, I do agree with you. we have been in popular science and on CNN and Fox News, and yet there's so many people in Tucson itself who have never heard of it, and it's just 20 minutes from downtown, really.
So Richard, you took up the challenge and did all these months of research to figure this all out. Is that correct?
Oh yes, and. Many, many months in the University of Arizona Library, and many months with different people of different disciplines within the industry. And finally, seemed to have a breakthrough that with light therapy, it's been mostly, if not all, artificial lights. And artificial lights only go so far. Studying the celestial lights, and in particular the moon to begin with, it cannot be duplicated on Earth, the moonlight. And the moonlight is unique onto its own self. It is not just reflected sunlight. And in fact, everything on Earth recognizes the unique spectrum of moonlight. And so with that in mind, The studies began medically and so forth, and since then we've become quite enlightened with the whole process, and hopefully have helped already. It's in the thousands of people that have come.
So this originally started, as I mentioned, because a friend had cancer, and you wanted to see. She tried everything else, and nothing was working. So you really were trying to help. Initially with cancer. Now, you've had success in helping other cancers. I know your friend didn't make it, unfortunately, bless her heart, and thank her very much, because it was her inspiration for this to happen. So what other medical things have been done with the moonlight?
Jennifer, that was our good friend Connie. She had pancreatic cancer, by the way, about a 3% survival rate. So it was amazing that she survived over 2 years. And she did not live to see it actually be built, but you're right, every day we thank her for really the inspiration she gave us. I'd like to mention at one point here that what we're talking about is an interstellar light collector, and it's five stories high. It's 60 feet wide. There are 84 mirrors on the front of it, and each mirror is 8 feet by 4 feet, and it's parabolic, which means they're curved. And it creates a beam about 6 feet by 6 feet on the people or things that we're putting the light on, and a magnification of about 300 times whatever the celestial body is. In this case, we're talking about moonlight. But I don't want to get off the subject either, because, yes, the main things I would say that it's helped is all sorts of skin diseases. Everything from scarring going away, and I mean going away, to skin cancers resolving themselves. It's been quite remarkable on skin. And then the second thing I would say that it has, and I'm not exaggerating, about a 95% rate of complete success, and people do not reoccur, is asthma. And we've had people who've had it for 20 years, and little children who don't know any better and certainly aren't going to get cured if it's not really working. Even dogs with asthma we've had out there, and everybody has had remarkable success, and after even sometimes a 3-minute session in this light has not had a reoccurrence of asthma. That's pretty remarkable to me.
And of course, the almost a common ailment of depression, and depression and light are linked together, and mm-hmm. this light does seem, it's so natural, it's so evolutionary. I mean, we evolved with this, that it certainly solves depression and has helped a lot of people in that area.
So with the depression, so in people who live in the Northeast, though it may be cloudy, if they go out, even though it may be filtered, is that going to help them with the depression?
Well,
if they're in the northern part of the country where there's a lot of gray?
Right, and of course some light comes through, but and that's where, especially from the Northwest and then Northeast, the SADS disease came, the seasonal affective
right.
disorder. And so it does affect people, maybe not just enough light. And there's been much success with artificial light, of course. And yet the full spectrum of the moonlight does seem to touch other areas that simply can't be reached by normal lights, really. So, and it's so interesting to note that, again, it's mostly sunlight, of course, but the better part of sunlight. And yet it also has, because it doesn't burn, it mm-hmm. like the sun, but yet it has deeper reds than the illuminating sunlight. And in fact, it's yellower than our sun. So the golden sun and silver moon are probably opposite. It's certainly yellower and redder, and yet the fullness of the sunlight rays.
Well, that is interesting. Now, with the spectrum, I mean, does the moonlight have the entire spectrum within it?
Yes, it does, and it has various degrees here and there. It seems some of the blues might be a little bit less, but there we have, and yet it's still represented from sunlight, and yet the reds are a little bit more here and there, and the yellows. So it contains the full spectrum, and there are many reasons why it has some pluses also. Again, leaving the ultraviolet mostly on the surface of the moon and not in the rays, therefore not burning. But the surface of the moon also is just so unique, so pristine, and there are many reasons why it reflects and refracts and emits accordingly.
So it really does have, I mean, when you go there, Monica gives a wonderful talk on the many uses, and you actually had some people who had some amazing healings there. There was a man there, and I can't remember his name, but it basically corrected his eyes.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, that's John. It's John from Phoenix, and he originally came down because he had a scar a terrible scar from a botched gastric bypass surgery that he'd had, that he had got infected, and they had to reoperate, and the whole thing was, it was just lengthy and awful. And his scar was literally, above his skin by almost a half an inch. I mean, that's how bad the scarring had been, and it was about a foot long, at least, down his chest. And that's the reason he came out. And he was getting some good results. He'd drive down from Phoenix a couple of hours and stand in the light 5 minutes, sometimes a little longer. And he noticed the first time he went there that the scar got lighter. We noticed it, all of us, from the time he walked in, from the time he walked out, it got lighter and less bumpy in that period of time. But what was interesting, as he came to heal his scar, he began to realize that he... his eyesight was getting better, and he wore three pairs of glasses, one for driving, one for day vision, regular vision, and one for reading. And these were three glasses that everybody sort of made fun of because he was always fumbling around on his desk. And he realized about the third time he visited that on his way home he never wore his night vision glasses. And then he realized the next morning he wasn't using his glasses to read anything on the board in his room. And very rapidly within that week, he realized all three of his glasses were no longer needed, and he was in his 40s at the time, so this is pretty amazing. And then when he actually went to the doctor, the eye doctor confirmed it, that his eyes were now 20/20 all the way around. So that was sort of a byproduct, unusual, and besides his scarring.
And there have been other eyeglass reduction reports to us, and that's been very interesting, and including some hearing reports that would last for a few months of better hearing and then slowly get back to where they were before that. So,
but then again, that was only with 3 minutes and not a return
visit. Right, that was just with one visit, and people had come from different places, and of course now they're anxious to come back again, so I'd like to see what some of those hearing ones have done.
Well, Jennifer, you know, one thing I want to say right now to all of your people listening, Richard and I are here really as servants on this planet, and this invention is for everybody's use and for everyone to figure out what the use of it is, because we were so inspired to build this, we know that it has a greater purpose. But the one thing I really want to say is that every single cell in your body has a receptor for light, whether it'll ever see the light of day or not, which means basically that you are being bombarded constantly by light frequencies, whether you realize it or not, whether they're artificial or the natural light, but your body must need most of these. And think about how often you go out in the moonlight. I don't think it happens very often in modern world, unless you find yourself away from the city. And I think moonlight definitely is a part of the evolution of mankind, and we have to realize that we're not getting enough of it, and that's part of this.
I mean, there's a basic question one could ask and answer. What if moonlight was as important as sunlight to everything on Earth? And now we are discovering more and more of that importance.
And it is really quite amazing. My experience there was my sister Patty came with me, and she has MS. And she always had really, her legs were just in pain quite a bit. And she went into the booth, and she did take off her pants so she would get more of an effect. And she was like practically running out after just 3 minutes. She was walking beautifully. I mean, I stopped and just said, Patty, you're walking normal. And she stopped and said, oh my God, I am. It was amazing just in 3 minutes what a difference it made.
Right. And
I remember meeting her. You have a wonderful sister. I mean, that was a really wonderful story, and is the reason we're on your show now, because I think the reaction she had is, and it's not that unusual, the reaction she had. One thing people have to realize is that the moonlight, you have a circadian rhythm in your body, and that is your really the pattern and balance of your body of eating and sleeping. But it goes beyond that. It's really actually the balance of each of the cells in your body, and that is controlled by moonlight. And if you think about, again, how much moonlight any of us are getting, which me before this, I would have to say we're with everyone else in America under artificial light and occasionally glancing at the stars. Really very, very little. I think that in the last 100 years, artificial lights have taken over, and I'm watching, you know, we're all watching so many more diseases coming on. Even though there seem to be so many more cures, there seem to be so many more diseases. Well, I think we're out of balance. That's probably the truth.
I think so, too. And especially now with the spiritual energetic shifts that are going on, the moon is really, I think, more needed, even more so. It's always been needed, but to really keep that balance. So, because energetically, I am feeling kind of the shifts going on, and I'm finding myself every night going out and at least for 15 minutes just sitting out in the moonlight, and I feel much better the next day.
Right.
If
so,
I don't,
right.
That's when I feel off.
Yeah. Well, we agree with you. But, you know, I think the reason that we would like people to come out here is because a first-time dose of getting this 300 times will probably reset you in many ways. And even if you're not, you know, fatally ill, and we do get people out there who have only a couple of months to live, we get, you know, the typical person who just, you know, has a rash and they watch it get better. So it's really a wide spectrum of how it helps people. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I was in it with my sister, and for me, I just felt just almost like a peaceful, tingling feeling all over. I really felt like little fingers just kind of rebalancing all through my body. And I do have a mole on my face that now is slowly dissolving. So,
I love
you know,
that.
It's like, okay. It's going. Keep it, you know.
Oh,
so.
Yes. Sounds very familiar.
It's very interesting.
Good.
And, you know, I have scars on my arms from dogs, and they're fading. So it really is amazing. And that just 3 minutes. And
right. And, of course, longer seems to be, you know, even more effective, that type of thing.
But 3 minutes definitely starts the process. We've had people come out after 3 minutes. I can remember a fireman, very, very all-American kind of guy, meat and potatoes sort of fellow, and really not into the spiritual aspects of moonlight, but came for the experience. And he was 100 pounds overweight in his firehouse and wanted to become the captain, and that really wasn't going to be happening until he got back into shape. And he came out with his wife, and she calls me the next day after he got 3 minutes, and she says to me, you know, John, that was her husband, he got home at midnight, and, you know, usually sits with chips and the TV until he falls asleep. She goes, he went and he ran 5 miles. And, you know, I kind of joke saying I didn't even know John could run 5 miles in his present shape, but I was really surprised. She goes, and something has really shifted in him. That you used the word shifted, and that made me think about it. And from the time of May of that year to October of that year, same year, he lost that 100 pounds, and now he's a triathlon athlete. And when you talk to him, again, he's just a very typical, wonderful, all-American guy. But he says that something changed in his brain, and everything got easier. That's the way, the only way he could think of describing it, from that first three-minute experience. And so I totally believe in the shift. I know it can happen.
It definitely. I mean, afterwards, it was interesting because Thursday, I went on a Saturday. I had gone some energy work on Thursday, and my guidance basically said, you need the moonlight. It's going to be like settling and really reaffirming all the changes that you're going through. And I've been more energetic. I've been more creative and inspired to get things done since the moonlight. And really, I just woke up, and it's like, okay, let's get going. And I'm doing more exercises, and I'm getting more things done. And it really has uplifted everything for me. So it really, energetically, it definitely has shifted and settled and balanced things within me that really needed balance. So it is amazing. I actually had heard about this. When you first came out, a friend of mine, Phyllis Winslow, I believe was one of the practitioners that went out to experience it when you first were opening it up, and she told me about it, and I'd totally forgotten about it. And to be quite honest, I have no idea how it was guided to you guys to come out that Saturday. Do not remember, but I know all I knew is I found it, and I said, I got to do that. Called my sister because I knew she had to be out there, and we were out there. And doing 3 minutes, so it really was of very amazing things. The other thing that you also use, you also do stars.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and that's something we've just begun getting into starlight. You know, my husband could probably say it better than I could, but, you know, originally, even before the moon, he was looking at stars like Sirius, which is a very ancient star in ancient Egypt. I mean, it's got a long history on the Earth of recognition and beauty. It's a very light blue, gorgeous, twinkling star that's in the winter. It's not out, actually. It's in the day right now. But Richard, the blue of that star got him so excited when he began to realize, right, Richard, about the frequencies, right?
Well, again, certain blues that could not be duplicated on Earth. You know, we all verified that, and top physicists and so forth. Let's put together some lasers, or let's combine some colors here or there, but it just doesn't exist. And again, always shining on us for billions of years, why not put this to use? And mm-hmm. would there be any uses? And interesting to note that now in 2002 and 3 and 2004, some studies came out, university studies, peer review, and even the starlight has, the low light level of starlight has effects on our agriculture, and they're finding out that even with wheat, it could trigger certain responses, and probably does, of growth and so forth, as the moon does. The sun simply being an important, of course, component, but just with the photosynthesis, you know, creating it that way. But yet, stars and moonlight becoming more of the really the trigger mechanisms of hormones and growth spurts and so forth. So those are some very interesting studies. It's amazing. It still took us, it's been up now for 4 years, and it just took only the last few months to finally turn it to a star, which you could do any time. It's an excellent system of mounting and precise to it, 1/10,000th of an inch. But we were so caught up in the moon, and rightfully so, and now that we've been accumulating a lot of data, it seems it finally shifted. But boy, why so long? I don't know, because it actually got started that way. But we're finally glad to get to the stars now, too.
So actually, this Saturday you're doing Vega, is that correct?
Yes, in fact, I'd love to invite anyone to come out, and we still have room. It's maybe the only time this year we're going to do Vega. Vega is, of course, the star that Carl Sagan loved and adored, and most people have heard of Carl Sagan, and he wrote the book Contact, and then the movie came out with Jodie Foster. And Carl Sagan always believed in his lifetime that if we're going to find life surrounding a star that we can see in our own, you know, night sky, he felt connected to Vega. And recently they've been finding these dust-like storms going around Vega that they now believe planets are in there. And there's, you know, scientists now, of course, catching up to Carl Sagan, who's gone now. But so Vega is a beautiful, very light blue star, very bright in the sky. And our experience when we go into starlight is very unique, because when you go into the 300 times of the moonlight, let's say the full moon, it's a very passive heavenly light. I describe it like it's like going into the light, actually. I think it's the closest thing you're going to feel on this earth to feeling like you went into a heavenly light. But it is passive and beautiful. When you go into 300 times, let's say Vega is a star like our sun. Except it's exploding in a different manner, very layman terms here, so that it has a blue reflection into our sky. But when you see it on the mirrors, which I hope you come out to, Jennifer.
I'm planning on it.
It actually shoots out at you like little LED lights, because it's energy of a sun coming at you. And you feel like there could be a few minutes there where you will feel like you're standing on a planet and Vega is your sun. Because it's night. Remember, everything is dark. And now the only light in front of you will be these little LED blue lights coming off of Vega shining on you. And you'll actually, if you're wearing white, you're It's unbelievable. It must be quantum physics, because your shirt will actually start to turn white and light blue and look a little bit more like Vega's. The light is actually on you, and you know it's many, many light years away. So it's just amazing. So this Saturday, if you want to come out, you can sign up by going to our website, which I'll give you now, and maybe I'll give you again later. Our website is Starlight, Starlight, Uses, U-S-E-S, so it's StarlightUses.com. And if you go there, you just plunk on a little click on the two events, and you'll see this Saturday's event, which is Vega. It starts about 8:30, and it'll give you directions, and you can sign up. We try to keep it, affordable for everyone. So there's a whole evening with a talk with Richard and I. There's food out there, a nice tent. It's about $25 as a starting fee, depending on, you know, how long you want to be in the light. But we figure that's fairly economical for what most people can afford, and it's really an amazing experience. So, yeah.
It really is. And we do have a couple callers if you're open for questions.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, we've got Christine on line two. Christine, how are you tonight?
Hi, Jennifer. I was just writing down the website and the events, and I'm just trying to figure out how to get out of this prearranged appointment I have Saturday. I did have a question, because on the therapy, and it's you're using moonlight, are you using crystal therapy with this too?
Oh, what a great question.
That is a great question.
Okay, yes. And believe it or not, you know, I don't know if any of you have heard of Dr. Emoto and his water therapies.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote The Hidden Messages in Water. He was in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? He's a good friend of ours now. He was just out there a couple of weeks ago for the second time, and he's from Japan. Well, his inspiration of the water got us thinking about other things on the planet that we really hadn't been really looking at, and it made us look at crystals. Because crystals are somewhat as abundant as water, I mean, undiscovered possibly in all the caves and mines. And there's a lot of folklore with them, right, that people are cleansing crystals and clearing crystals. And I got to be frank with you, I have a very open mind, but I don't know everything. So I have to count on, you know, people like you and people who know more telling me about things. So we had this amazing thing. We decided, okay, let's check into this. What is it about clearing and cleansing crystals in sunlight and moonlight? That was the one that really finally got us. So we actually went to the head of the geology department of the U of A right here in Tucson, and his name is Dr. Robert Downs, and he agreed to do a crystal experiment. But this was the first, as far as he knows, and he's very famous, he has things on Mars, and he's, you know, very well known. He had never heard of anybody actually doing a crystal experiment. So here we are. What we did was we took five large crystals. They were about 8 inches high and about 4 inches across, so thick, wide, big raw crystals. And we cut them in half, each one. So here's five crystals cut in half. So now we have 10 halves. Half of each one went into his lab and was looked at under his spectrometer called the Raman spectrometer. And it has a DNA signature. It shows the impurities, all this stuff. The other half of each one of those crystals got put into the interstellar light collector, the moonlight collector, for up to about an hour and a half, because they were so big and thick, we decided to give them a good shot. So this is 300 times the moonlight, full moonlight, on these crystals. Several days later, we bring the other half back. I don't want the story to go on forever, but here's what happened. First off, we don't know him very well, and he accuses us over the phone. He says, you didn't bring back the other half. We said, what? It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Just put the other half with the other one. And he said, but they're not matching on my Raman spectrometer. And then everybody had the aha moment. I said, well, what happened on the other half that came from the Moonlight Collector? He said, well, the half you left here, it has a bunch of wavy lines. It's got a lot of impurities and background noise and all this stuff. He goes, yours have completely flatlined out. There isn't anything but the DNA signature left in all of the five halves that had been in the moonlight. He said they molecularly changed. They didn't get charged. They actually physically changed. They'll never go back to having these impurities in them. He was completely shocked. He didn't expect this at all.
And scientifically, we could use the word less defects. There were actually some visible defects that became less visible. And so even used the term somewhat defect-free in one regard. But so there was, and subsequent others too, at least 25 other crystals, same way and same thing.
And then we went on to do other tests with these crystals, biomeridian tests and different different tests like that, and it all showed that within 15 seconds of taking one of these crystals that had been in the concentrated collector, that the circulation of your body went to that spot. It was remarkable. I mean, within 15 seconds.
It threw
so the healing
and
amount
energy to that area.
Yes.
So
really amazing.
When I was on
hopefully
hold,
it enhanced.
While I was on hold, I was talking to the radio owner Seth, and I had asked him if this was an Eastern medicine, a Western medicine, or is it ancient Atlantean?
Boy, it sounds like all three. and it really can be a combination. And, of course, ancient Atlantean has been reported to use crystals. And,
exactly. Well, that was why I asked about the crystal, because that was...
Well, there's been psychic-type people who say that they think my husband has that kind of, you know, past. My husband doesn't remember any of that, but they think that, you know, he's bringing it forward into our lifetime. Yeah. And there was a moment, and I want to make this very clear. There was a moment that my husband actually felt that out of love for our friend, we opened up a little space in the universe, that it was from love, really, that this thing was built. And there was a moment of love where this idea just flew through. I can't even describe it any other way, right? Richard, that's really
yes,
how it was.
Very much so. I'm just sorry we still took 1 year after her death to have it completed. And she would be helping with studying a bit. And she was teacher of the year, taught our little one also, and on, the greatest lady. And she would, of course, say, can you go just a little faster, please?
Yeah.
But
anything else about the crystals?
And it's good, and crystals, and those that come into the moonlight do bring, even if they have jewelry on, their own crystals and such, and that seems to be very good.
So you can bring
We actually have a moonlight infusion site where we sell all these concentrated crystals called moonlightinfusions.com. You can take a look at, too.
With a lady named Sherry, and she's a crystal dealer. She actually lives in Southern Arizona. She's the owner of Synergy, the crystal skull. Are you familiar with her?
Oh, yeah, I know her. I've met her.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I was, while you guys were talking, I was thinking about Synergy and thinking about what Synergy would do with one
Well, if you want to hear a very interesting, quick story, do you know about the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull? Have you ever heard of that one?
Of course I do.
There was a group of a meeting last winter of all these skulls. That's where I met her. And the crystals, Mitchell's Hedges crystal skull was in Tucson. And it was all over at my friend's house, because she was heading up this seminar for the weekend.
Right. Sherry
and,
will do that.
And, okay, so you remember that. And so she, the guy that owned the crystal, Mitchell Hedges crystal skull was out at the Moonlight Collector, with the skull. And when he heard about the impurities coming out of the crystals that were going into the collector, he said no. He said no, I'm not going to put it in. And
really,
you know, if I could tell you a far out story, I'll tell you a very far out story.
I would have thought no negative at all. I would have thought everything good.
Right, right.
Perfect.
Well, he figures his skull's worth $1 million, and he's afraid of changing it. Let's put it that way. And I feel that all these skulls are somehow communication devices of some sort, and that they're meant to experience things on the planet.
Have you invited Sherry to have Synergy come down?
She has not brought Synergy out there, but she did tell me at one point she wanted to, so I don't know.
I knew Sherry would, because Sherry loves Synergy. And I'll have to email her and say, when are you going to go down there? The next question is, you're talking about 3 minutes. Is 3 minutes for like a month? How often should somebody do this?
Oh boy, that's a great question, and I think it's still, you know, out there.
I think if you are a normal person with the normal aches and pains and the normal things in life, that 3 minutes can definitely help balance your body. We allow people to stay in as long as a half an hour. It's a different price range when you get up there to a half an hour. So there are people, and we've had people that are very ill who have needed more time.
Special cases are not charged. It all depends, and that we deal with accordingly.
Sure. Well, I have tons of questions, but someone else is waiting to ask questions too.
Yes. So Chris, if you want to call back in a few minutes, or.
Okay.
Just hold on.
Saturday night. I'll meet you.
I have 22 people coming to dinner Saturday, and I'm trying to figure out how I can jump out of the ship on that one, drive to Tucson.
That's a tough one.
This doesn't start till later in the evening. Why don't you all jump in a couple of times and come on
out? Right. Start at 8:30. My thing starts at 5:30.
Yeah, we'll probably be out there till 11 or 12, depending on how many people
show up. You'll be out there late.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it can make it a lunch deal instead of a dinner, Christine.
You know, sweetie, it's 5:30 p.m. on the second Saturday of every month.
I know.
Unforgettable. I know this. I just get frustrated that there's always five different things on the second Saturday of the month.
Of course. It's a popular day.
You know, have a week after rent's paid.
Right.
Yeah.
So we do have Frank on the line, Chris, so if you want to hold on, that's fine, but I think it's time to get Frank on the line, who's been waiting to ask his question.
Hello?
Frank?
Hello.
Frank?
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
It's a very interesting show, but my question was more for you, Jennifer. I'm sorry. Is it okay?
Which, if you're looking for a psychic reading, I prefer we really kept it to the subject today, Frank.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank you, though, for introducing, you'd done a quick little reading before on another show, and I was looking for a healing modality, and I didn't know which one, and you had mentioned the reconnection, and so I signed up for it, and I'm starting this weekend. So I just wanted to thank
you
for that. So that was
excellent.
It, and so I did have one question, but if you're keeping to the topic this show, then I'll call another show for it.
Okay, I would appreciate it, Frank.
No problem. Thank you, but it's very interesting with the moon healing.
Yes, very much
so. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. So it is the crystals. I mean, I actually did take my pendulum in there, and it has more energy in it than it did before. It's amazing. Its motion is a lot faster and clearer, so it's definitely... Something with the crystals definitely was affected.
I always tell people
it was interesting.
That they think crystals are just a bunch of woo-ha kind of stuff, you know, because a lot of people don't understand them except for the beauty of them, you know, because they're beautiful.
Right.
But in reality, and I say this over and over again, what is inside your computer holding your information is a crystalline chip. It's a silicon chip, but it's a grown crystal that's in your computer. They have never figured out how to artificially reproduce that. And look at our computers. This is the most modern part of this age, I would say, is computers. So it's kind of amazing when you get right down to it, what's there.
Crystals have a lot more power and than most people think. And each kind of crystal has a different kind of energy to it. I personally can really feel the difference within the different stones. And I did pick up one that was from Sirius when I was out there with the moon. And that was amazing. I felt I was home. It was just such a powerful stone, and it really was awesome to be holding it. I hadn't brought any more money with me, or else I probably would have bought that sucker. It was absolutely awesome.
Oh.
I'm going to see if it's there this time.
I'll bring it to the next Moonlight event, which the next Moonlight event is on Wednesday, June 23rd at 9 o'clock. So that you'll see if you go to our website and starlightuses.com and look at events. So. Yeah, we'll have that out there, too. Now, I could tell you a little bit of a more far-out story about what's happened with Sirius, if you're interested in more of the far-out stuff that's happened with the stars.
Sure.
I don't know what your viewership is. this is something we're going to be telling the world about, because we've actually been able to film it now with some very high-powered professional cameras. But when we focused in on the star Sirius, it actually... the first night we did it, we began to get the beautiful blue light of Sirius, and everybody loved the light, and they felt great. The second time we did it, people started seeing images on the actual mirrors appearing, things like Egyptian skulls and pyramids and the, you know, Sphinx and things like that. And the third time that we focused in on Sirius, a word appeared in English, and it was the word love, L-O-V-E, in 10 and 12 foot high block letters across the entire array of mirrors. And we've been actually able to film this in blue light. And I think it's a message for the planet. I think we don't need to worry as much as we think we have to worry. I think there's more intelligent life out there that loves us. I mean, really, if you want to get right down to it.
Definitely.
So I love Sirius, too. I feel that way about it. And we are going to actually do something with this film now because so many people have seen it. 100 people have seen this. Not just me or a couple of people that one night. It actually reappeared the next year in February again, which was February of this year. So and it doesn't happen with the other stars or the moonlight. So it's not on our mirrors. It's actually a message, you know, coming. And it's fascinating to me.
So that is pretty amazing. And, of course, we've checked the mirrors and used different light rays and patterns. Can you reproduce that word?
Yeah.
And no, of course not. Because it also had traveled down a bit from the mirrors.
It wasn't always on the same mirrors, in other words.
Yeah.
The word would travel.
So that's weird. And that's great. And that's lovely. And that was just
unexpected,
a beautiful
to say the least.
Message. I mean, love from the stars. Amazing.
It really is.
Amazing.
And so, since you brought up the film, you guys do have a video that explains what this is about, some of the things that have gone on with it, correct?
Yes, we have a video that we sell on our moonlightinfusions.com website, but you can always reach that through the Starlight Uses. And it actually is, how many minutes is that video, Richard? 54?
It's 54 minutes. It took 2 years in the making. And it's co-sponsored by a very interesting partner, and we're hoping that they get it out, a division of Simon & Schuster. And it's called Beyond Words.
But that's what the name of the video is actually called, Interstellar Moonlight Therapy.
Right. And
the scientists are all on there describing, because we've done quite a few experiments. We didn't talk about the rest of the experiments in the moonlight, but we've done things with seeds. That made the seeds reproduce, germinate actually, in the 92 percentile when they were genetically disposed to only germinate in the 20 percentile. So the moonlight changed them. And actually, if you think about old-time farming, and I've done a lot of organic farming in my lifetime, seeds were meant to dry out on a plant. You would harvest everything except a few of the plants to go to seed. And during that time of drying out, they would have gone through a full moon cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We just have sort of, except for organic gardening, totally knocked that out in America. And the seeds are starting to show it. I mean, seeds now in America are very hard to even get them to reproduce. And I don't want to get political, but there's a lot of problems with that. Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Right. So it is, we hope it really starts hitting the charts, as we say. you know, it's 30 minutes of this and that and behind the scenes and scientists and so forth. However, the main part of the video and the number one reason for the video is the 15 minutes of filmed full spectrum moonlight on a face. So we've...
Off the mirror.
Yeah, it took quite a long time of trying to get it just... faithfully, let's say, reproduced. And so we, you darken your room, you turn on your TV and through your viewing screen, can get the next best thing to being there. It's called biophotonically. And, of course, mostly, you know, it is the artificial light, but within that, and of course, within that is the moonlight components that, once again, cannot be reproduced by any artificial light other than this. And as we know, artificial light has its goodness also, I mean, to various effects and its badness, but so it's delivering through that method, and it's the next best thing to being there, and that has gotten some very interesting results.
Is it, I mean, now something that me and my sister asked Monica when we were out there, and just for the audience, does it matter how much, how full the moon is? For
well,
the
this,
effect
that's a very,
that
very good,
another
question.
Good question.
But you know what we've found? Okay, here's a couple of things we found. There's whole societies called the Dark Sky Society. Is that what they're called, Richard? And they believe the first glint of the new moon coming out is the strongest of all of the lights coming off the moon. There's a whole society of people who believe that. And then there's the whole astrology societies that, you know, depending on where the moon is laying in one of your houses of health, let's say, and depending if it's a full moon or a half moon or, you know, a quarter moon or whatever it is, that might be the moon you need for your particular health. And I'm not opposed to definitely getting more influences from not only doctors like we've had, but also astrologers, because I do feel we all need to work together to find out the answers.
And interesting
sure.
to note, we've have results from a half moon up to the full moon, mostly 3/4 and 90%, but nothing less than that yet. So that's another good one. I'd like to see how the crescent may act a little bit more. Scientifically, there's certain spectrums that are different a little bit here and there from the half to the full moon, and so those particular frequencies may come into play or not. But some, again, excellent results from half up. It seems to be almost about the same, depending on the person. So, yeah, I don't know of any bigger differences yet.
So it's when do you choose what day to
well,
do the moon?
Some of it is just physical because of one thing I didn't describe about this five-story high 60-foot-wide mirror is that it's in a pit because we don't mm-hmm. want to be like a floating sail on the horizon. It's down in a pit, and that changes the trajectory of when we can actually receive the moon. And then the moon itself, you know, is in a different part. It's in a different part of the sky, depending on whether it's a quarter or half moon or full moon. So we try to get it as close to the full moon as possible, just for the effect that most people feel when they get more light on them. They feel that that's what they need. And we've had different people, like even Dr. Andrew Weil has been out there, and his reaction was he pulled off his shirt and said, "I didn't even know my body needed it. And my body just wants more and more and more." That was his actual quote. Now, he's not ready to send
all right,
all
but
of
don't tell
patients.
Anybody that, by the way.
No, it's fine if you say
he said, keep it on the QT.
No, he said,
all right, so that's
says,
fine.
He's not ready yet until he gets his own institute. He's still working under the U of A right now.
But he had
now.
An excellent experience.
And he had a great experience out there. But, you know, I think he came out on a 3/4 moon, actually. And
so it's 3/4, yeah. So,
this
yeah,
is still to be discovered, I think, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Now, actually it's proven that the Earth axis, has changed with the Chilean earthquake. Have you noticed doing the trajectory of the moon that you had to adjust for that?
No, we haven't. And the way the parabolics are formed, we have a little bit of leeway in there. It's a few millimeters, as we say. So that effect from the tilt was nowhere near that amount. So, no, we haven't experienced any need to readjust or anything that way. Good
okay,
question.
So.
Yeah. That was,
and one thing I'd like to do in the future, Jennifer, you brought up the tilting, so I'm suspecting that you're talking about all the Earth changes starting to happen around the planet.
Yes.
And how quickly everything is accelerating. And, of course, everybody who's anybody knows about 2012, even if it's that goofy movie. Everybody's
yes.
got some thought about 2012 in their head, no matter what part of the world you're from. And what I would like to do, because it's supposed to be the alignment of our sun and our Earth with the center of the galactic galaxy, you know, the Milky Way galaxy, which hasn't happened in 26,000 years, I would like to actually turn this light ray to the center of that galaxy. We can do that and see if we receive either any light, any messages, anything for the planet Earth, because we would be amplifying it, whatever it is. And I would like to set up a really incredible weekend of doing that and get a lot of spiritual people out there and people that really mm-hmm. have feelings about this. I think it'd be great.
I'll sign up for that.
Yep,
and I have signed up for Saturday, just so you know.
Oh, you did? Oh, good.
Yes, so you'll see me on Saturday. Now, we have about 5 minutes left, so is there anything you want to summarize about this fantastic healing modality?
Well, that more people should get into the moonlight on their own anyway, you know.
Wherever they are.
The clear nights and so forth. And it just takes, you know, some more doing, really making a concerted effort. And that would be a good beginning, too.
And I think I would just like to say that, you know, I say it often enough, we are all parts of a big puzzle. And without each other and each other's help, we're never going to figure out exactly whether it's 2012, whatever it is, whatever the purpose is, that we are all suddenly, everything's speeding up, and everybody can tell it's speeding up. I've talked to my mother at 85, and she knows something's happening. So everybody's getting it. We all need to communicate, and what we built is really for everyone, and we want everyone to come out and try it, because we've had people walk away with clarity of mind and change their websites and change the way they're living their lives. That's a whole other part of what happens when people come out there, not always just the physical healing, but mentally it seems to balance people out, and this is really why we built it, really.
And it really, as someone who has experienced it, I do highly recommend it. 3 minutes was a great starting point. Me and my sister have already signed up for the one on the 23rd, and we're going for 7 minutes this time. And it really is a wonderful experience, and you really do appreciate the moon and what it's doing for this planet. One thing real quick that I do want to mention is the oil spills, because the moon is so influenced on the oceans.
Next week, we begin our oil experiment.
Because it can separate it and help break it up. Imagine all the ships out there having a collector on top of them and clearing up the ocean. Because 90% of the ocean's life in the ocean needs to rise up to moonlight to reproduce. And it's not just the tides. It is the light of the moon.
Well, it could easily be a 1-2 punch also, where the moon prepares the oil from these longer hydrocarbons, breaking it up to the shorter hydrocarbons, and therefore the sunlight can then do its effect. And this, of course, also reflects the sun. And so the sun would then be that, it would also, increase
the moon and the sun would work together with a concentration.
Maybe 100 times faster than what the sun's doing already, which is a very slow rate. I mean, that's the Earth's rate, and it's taking time. So maybe we could speed up that whole process a lot also.
We've been talking about this for days, how to do an experiment, so we're working on that. Yeah.
Yeah, that had just come up about 2-3 weeks ago, and people were saying that, you know, there might be a possibility of that, so let's try it. We'll get to see water in the oil and the beam it, and they'll look under the microscopes and see if things are breaking up or whatever rate it might be doing it. That would make sense, you know, rather than slow. It has to be fast, so we'll see what happens. Might be interesting. That'd be great.
It sounds like a wonderful suggestion of we need to do something. So with that, if you would like to, once again, mention your websites, because you have more than one. So why don't you mention your websites one more time? And again, there is something happening this Saturday in Vega. If you're in the Tucson area or Southern Arizona, please come on down.
Yes.
So what are the websites?
Our websites are www, of course, Starlight Uses, Starlight Uses, USES.com, StarlightUses.com. And that's our main website for more of the scientific part of this, and then more for the interest in the crystals and that kind of thing is our other website, which is moonlightinfusions.com.
Excellent.
And the next moonlight is June 23rd on a Wednesday.
Yes, and if you go on there, the events are on the Starlight Uses.
Yeah, on the StarlightUses.com, you just click onto events, and up pops the entire registration and and everything about it. Yes.
Yes. So I thank you very much, Richard and Monica Chaplin, for your wonderful work. It is really an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show and to know you. And I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Same here, Jennifer. Thank you so much, and good night to everyone.
Good night, everyone.
So this is Jennifer Hillman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspiration. Until next time, many blessings and good night.